Good morning. Been debating back and forth about what to share from God's Word this morning, and some of the songs that we've been singing this morning help me kind of get my thoughts in line here. What we want to look at this morning is the love of Christ. The love of Christ is basically what we want to study together this morning. And there's not any one particular passage of Scripture we're going to be looking at exclusively. I tend to do that a lot. Sometimes I get ahead of myself, and sometimes I get going quickly, and it's hard to keep up. And if I go too quickly, try to flag me down a little bit, I'll try to slow down or just listen if you lose track along the way. But we'll be looking at several different passages of Scripture. We want to look at the love of Christ this morning. And basically, we'll be looking at something that God's Word tells us that we can't understand, that it's beyond our understanding. But even though it's beyond our understanding, we're encouraged and told to get to know it better. So it's a lifelong process. It's not something that you learn and you get a handle on and you say, okay, I have that lesson behind me, I can go on to something else. But we want to look at the love of Christ, which is something that we're going to be occupied with throughout all the ages of eternity and getting to know in a greater way. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 3 to begin with. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, and he's praying for them as he's writing to them, and he's letting them know what exactly he's praying that God would do for them. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, Paul says that, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man." And the verses we will particularly pay attention to is 17 through 19. "That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." He prayed that they might come to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. That is something that is incomprehensible, that is immeasurable. He prayed that the Ephesians, along with all the saints, and that includes us today, that we'd be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and the height of the love of Christ. That we might be able to know what the love of Christ is, which passes knowledge, that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. And that's something that we'll be learning our whole life long. The love of Christ. We'll be learning the depth of it, the width of it, the height. It's incomprehensible. It's immeasurable. There's no way that we can measure the love of Christ. There's no way that we can finally say that we fully understand. But we are to know this, and we are to learn this. We are to get to know of the love of Christ. We are to spend our lives getting to know Him better, that we may understand His love more. We are to know the incomprehensible, and to plumb the depths of that which is immeasurable. And that will indeed take a lifetime. That will take eternity, getting to know the heart of God, or the love of Christ, which is incomprehensible and immeasurable. A song that is often sung about the love of God kind of sums it up. It's entitled "The Love of God." It says, "The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care, God gave his soul to his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. When hoary time shall pass away and earthly thrones and kingdoms fall, when men who hear refuse to pray, on rocks and hills and mountains call, God's love so sure shall stand, shall still endure, all measureless and strong, redeeming grace to Adam's race, the saints and angels' song." And then verse 3 of the psalm, "Could we with ink the ocean fill, were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky." That is what we're to spend our life getting to know. The love of God. Something that is beyond our understanding, yet we're commanded to learn and to know. And we who are blood-bought children of God know of the love of God, because God so loved the world that He gave His Son to die in our place. And this is how we know what love is. God gave His... Jesus Christ laid down His life for us. That's how we first come to know the love of God, through what's been done for us. And then we spend the rest of our time here and throughout eternity getting to know in a greater detail, in a greater way, that which is incomprehensible and immeasurable. But the love of Christ is not only incomprehensible and immeasurable, but it's unconquerable and it's eternal. And we need to look elsewhere to find that, back into Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. There's not many things in this world that are sure things, but this is a sure thing. Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We saw in the verses in Ephesians that God's love is beyond our understanding. There's no way that we can measure it. There's no way we can fully grasp it. But we're commanded to, with all the saints, to get to know this love of Christ. Part of getting to know the love of Christ means that we find out that His love is unconquerable and it's eternal. These verses tell us, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? What shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Is Christ's love so feeble that these things can separate us from Him? No, it's not. There's nothing that can separate those who have put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of Christ. Now, does it mean that once we come to know Christ as our personal Savior, and we know of this love that God has for us, that Christ has for us, that we're going to escape tribulation and distress and persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? It doesn't mean that we're going to escape those things at all. What it does mean is that these things in no way can take away that which is eternal, that which is unconquerable. We see all kinds of horrible things going on in the world around us. We see such things as a bombing that took place recently in Oklahoma City. We see wars over the seas where there's just unnecessary wholesale slaughter. We see all kinds of things happening. We see times of trouble in our own life. And if we're honest with ourselves, sometimes when the pressure gets hard and the troubles get particularly severe, at times we'll entertain the question, well, Lord, do You even love me? Do You even care? And if You love me, how come I'm going through this? But the things that we're going through in no way can separate us from the love of Christ. It's unconquerable. The worst things that we could ever imagine us going through, there's no way can separate us from the love of Christ. There's no tribulation that's too severe, no distress that's too great, no persecution, no times of famine, no times of want that can ever separate us from the love of Christ. Verse 37 says, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. We can face any situation that this world or Satan or anyone can throw at us when we're depending on Christ. And we're learning to know the love of Christ in a greater degree. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Paul goes on to say, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present or things to come, Nothing that's ever happened in our past, nothing that's ever going to happen to us in our future, will ever separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing in all of creation can separate us from the love of God, the love of Christ. It's unconquerable. It's eternal. It's eternal. Death will not separate us from the love of Christ, because at death we go into the presence of the Lord and we will be enveloped in His love in a greater way throughout all eternity. The love of Christ is incomprehensible, it's immeasurable, it's unconquerable and eternal. And one thing that we do know about the love of Christ is that it's sacrificial and sanctifying. And that's found over in Ephesians, once again, Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Verses 25 and 26. Paul had encouraged the Ephesians to get to know the greatness, the depth of the love of Christ. And then he went on and described the love of Christ in a passage where he's instructing wives and husbands, particularly in instructing husbands. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 and 26 says, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word." The love of Christ is sacrificial. The verse says that we are to love just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. What's God's word tell us? That greater love has no one than this, than a man would lay down his life for his friends. The love of Christ is sacrificial. He was willing to go to Calvary's cross because of his love for us. This is how we know what love is. 1 John 3:16 tells us that Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. It's sacrificial. The other John 3:16 that we all know, that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, his only begotten Son. He gave him to die on Calvary's cross so that anyone who would put their faith and trust in him would not perish but have eternal life. That's the love of Christ. It's sacrificial. That's the love of God, that he sacrificed his one and only Son on our behalf, that he might win us to him. That's a love that's greater than anything that we can understand. But we'll spend all eternity thanking God for it. It's sacrificial. It's sanctifying. God's love is sanctifying. Christ gave himself for the church that he might sanctify and cleanse her through the washing of water by the word. When we meditate and spend time getting to know about the love of Christ and getting to know him and love him in a greater way, it'll have a purifying effect on our lives. We'll not want to stay the same. We'll not want to do things that displease him because of his great love that he has for us. The whole idea of the love of Christ has a sanctifying effect on our lives, to draw us to him, to draw us to be more like him. The love of Christ is not only incomprehensible and immeasurable, but and unconquerable and eternal and sacrificial and sanctifying, but I think in a more down-to-earth way that the love of Christ is very practical. And that once we spend our time getting to know this immeasurable, this incomprehensible love in a greater way each day, and we rest in the fact that there's nothing that can ever separate us who have put our faith and trust in Christ from his love, and we realize that he loved us so much he was willing to die for us, it's going to change the way we live. We are going to reflect to those around us the type of love that Christ had for us. And our words and our actions, everything about us is going to reflect that love. When you stop and think about it, if you want a definition of what love is, and you want to explain to someone, well, what exactly is love? How would you define it? What type of words would you use to define love? I think if you're careful in defining love to someone else, you use action words. You define love in what love does, how love acts. You use action words. And that's what God's Word does. We're reminded in 1 John 3:17 and 18, we'll be looking there in a little bit, but just basically there it tells us that if we see someone who has a need and we have the resources to meet that need and we don't, how can we really say that we love them? And we're told not to just love in words alone, not just with our tongue, but in deed and in truth. We're to show our love. And we're to show the love of Christ to a lost and dying world around us by what we do. It's more than word. It lives in the realms of actions. Scripture teaches us in John 13, verses 34 and 35, that we're to love one another the way Christ loved us. We're to show the love of Christ to a lost and dying world. We are to love others as Christ loved us. And Christ loved us by showing His love to us. If you look how God's love is defined in Scriptures, it's kind of interesting that when you look at the verses that talk about a working definition of love in Scriptures, it speaks of what God has done or what Christ has done. We've already alluded to some of them. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." Romans 5:8 tells us that God demonstrated His love to us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He demonstrated what His love was. And that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And if there's anybody here this morning that doesn't know Christ as their personal Savior, God demonstrated His love for you by sending His Son to die on Calvary's cross. That if you put your faith and trust in what's already been done on Calvary's cross, then you can have eternal life. That if you believe, that if you put all your trust, all your faith in what Christ has done for you. 1 John 3:16 we've alluded to, where it says, "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us." Again, we see love defined by action, by what is done, not just by words. It's important to tell the people that you love them, but it's more important to show them by what you do that what you say is real. And God's Word tells us over and over of His great love for us. But the love is defined by what God did. Jesus' love is defined. The love of Christ is defined by what He did. He laid down His life for us. 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10 give us a definition, a description of God's love. "In this the love of God was manifest toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Again, we see love defined by action, not just words. How do we in our own lives show others that we love them, or tell others that we love them? How do we reflect the love of Christ? By what we say? Well, I think that's part of it. But we reflect the love of Christ to a lost and dying world and to our brothers and sisters in Christ by what we do. And I think that's reflected in Christ's life while He was here on earth. While Christ was here on earth, He showed His love to those around Him by His actions. By the action of giving. He showed His love by the action of giving. Putting others' needs first. Matthew chapter 14 tells us about it. Mark chapter 6 tells us about the time when that we know of the feeding of the 5,000. Mark chapter 6, We'll look at that particular portion. Mark chapter 6, verse 30. Earlier in Mark chapter 6, Jesus sent the 12 out to preach. Then you learn of the murder of John the Baptist. And then after that, you learn of the apostles gathering back to Jesus in verse 30. Then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all the things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said to them, "Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat." Verse 32, so they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves. But the multitude saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran there on foot from all the cities. They arrived before them and came together to him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. Jesus showed his love by his action of giving, by putting others' needs first. At this situation, John the Baptist had been beheaded, and the news has gotten back to Christ. The disciples have gone out and have taught. And they've come back and they've gathered together, and there's so much activity going on that they can't even find time to eat, let alone rest. And so they go off to a deserted place for a well-needed, much-needed rest. And what happens? They get out of the boat, and there's this huge throng of people waiting. And Christ put others' needs first. Even though they desperately needed rest, they needed time alone, he put others' needs first, and he showed his compassion by meeting their needs. He taught them many things. And when it was time to meet their physical needs, he met their physical needs by providing for them with the loaves and the fish in a miraculous way. Jesus showed his love by his action of giving. He was sacrificial in his giving for those he loved. Again, John 15, verse 13 says, "Greater love has no one than this, than a man would lay down his life for his friends." And that's exactly what Jesus did. He laid down his life. He's the good shepherd that gave his life for the sheep. He showed his love by giving even when it was sacrificial. Are we willing to show others the love of Christ by sacrificially giving of ourselves on his behalf and on their behalf? He not only showed his love by his action of giving, but by his action of forgiving. The greatest example of this is found in Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, verses 32 to 34, when he had been nailed to the cross, and he could say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." When the world had treated him their worst, and had nailed him to the cross, and had spit on him, and beat him, and mocked him, he could say, "Father, forgive them. They do not know what they're doing." Action of forgiving. He confronted wrongs when there were wrongs. He corrected Peter. When Peter said, "Lord," after he told them that he was going to go to Jerusalem and he was going to be betrayed and handed over and he was going to be crucified, Peter took him aside and said, "Lord, these things will never happen to you." Christ had to rebuke Peter. He confronted the wrong that Peter was saying. Christ directs to a right path. You remember the incident when the woman was taken in the very act of adultery and was brought to Christ. And he said, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. And one by one they left to when he alone was the only one there. And he says, "Where are your accusers? Where are those that accuse you, that condemn you?" "There's no one here," she said. And he says, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Christ does not ignore wrong actions, but he does direct to the right path. And we need to be that way in our own lives as we deal with others. We can't say we love that person and we're just not going to confront them. We can't be that way. And it's hard to confront. That's one of the worst things. I will almost do anything rather than have to confront somebody. Because I was just my makeup, I guess. But when someone is wrong, we're not showing them love by letting them get away with doing wrong. We need to lovingly go and reprove them from God's Word and direct them to the right path. And that's what Christ did. That's how He showed His love. He showed His love by His action of disciplining. God does not ignore wrong actions. He does not ignore wrong actions. By His action of obedience, He showed His love. Christ showed His love for His Father by His perfect obedience. He could say, "I'll always do those things which please the Father." And Philippians tells us that Christ's obedience was so complete that He was obedient even to death upon Calvary's cross. Even when it meant that He would die, He was completely obedient to the Father. And He showed His love in that way. And by His action of intercession, He shows His love by His action of intercession. John chapter 17 tells us of Christ's intercession for those that would follow Him. The Bible goes beyond that and He says that He ever lives to make intercession. He daily makes intercession for us. Isn't that an encouraging thought? That as you're going through your day-to-day activities, as you come up against times when you would really rather, you felt like, well, I should have just stayed in bed this morning. Things are going so bad that I don't know where to turn. Isn't it encouraging when the thought comes to your mind at that point, Christ is interceding for me. He's praying for us. All of these actions and more showed how Christ demonstrated His love and continues to demonstrate His love today. Well, how is our love to be defined? Let's make it a little bit personal. Remember, we're supposed to learn to know the immeasurable, the incomprehensible love of Christ. The love that is eternal, that is unconquerable. We're to know the love that is sacrificial and sanctifying. And we're to show that love to those that are around us, to those we come in contact with. We're supposed to be reflectors of the love of Christ. We show our love the same way that Christ showed His love, in actions. By the action of giving, putting others' needs first. Putting others' needs first. That's how we show the reality of the love of Christ in our lives and our love for others. Philippians chapter 2 tells us about that. Philippians chapter 2. First several verses. Well, particularly verse 3 and 4. Philippians 2 verses 3 and 4. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. If we're going to be true reflectors of the love of Christ, then we're going to be those that show the love of Christ by our action of giving, by putting others' needs first, by not living our lives in a selfish way. And at one time or another, maybe many times in our lives, we ought to stop and kind of take stock and find out, am I putting others' needs first, or am I living selfishly? I guess one safe example I can use in my own life. Every now and then, for a snack, I love barbecue Fritos. I can sit down and eat a whole bag in one sitting. It's not always good for you, and I don't do it very often. But that's one of my favorite snacks. When I get it, I have two choices. I can be very selfish, put my wants and my interests first, or I can share. Well, it's easy. My wife doesn't particularly care for them. My kids didn't used to care for them. So it used to be real easy. No problem. I'd offer them. They'd say, no, I don't really want that. It's too hot. I don't really like that. That was great. It's all to myself. But somewhere along the line, we need to live our lives putting others' needs first and living unselfishly. And in doing that, we show the love of Christ. I guess the next time I have barbecue Fritos, somebody's going to have to check up on me to see if I'm living up to this. But are we those that are willing to give to others that which we have, that which we enjoy? Are we willing to show compassion on others as Christ showed compassion time and time and time again to those he came in contact with? He showed compassion on those that people wouldn't even come near. He reached out and touched a man that had leprosy and healed him of his leprosy. No one would have come near enough to touch a leper in those days. And there are those around us today whom we shy away from for one reason or another. And we may have opportunities to go and give of ourselves to them and show the love of Christ to them. But we're selfish and we pull back. That's not showing the love of Christ. That's not reflecting the wonderful love that Christ showed to others. Are we willing to show that we love others even to the point of being sacrificial? Even to the point of giving something we'd really rather keep? Something we can really use on a day-to-day basis, and there's nothing wrong with that. But are we willing to be sacrificial? We also reflect the love of Christ that we're to know and we're to live by our action of forgiving. We are commanded to forgive even as Christ has forgiven us. Even as Christ has forgiven us, we're to forgive even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. Ephesians 4:32 tells us. That's the extent we are to extend forgiveness. And that's hard. Because many times we'll get our feelings hurt or something will happen that offends us and we're really not willing to forgive. Now, it doesn't mean that we don't want to forgive, because we know we've been forgiven. It's just that we find it very hard to. We need to forgive even as Christ has forgiven us. Christ forgave us wholeheartedly. He didn't put any strings to it. But how many times do we do that? Well, I'll forgive you if you'll do this. But we show the love of Christ by our forgiveness of others. And we need to remember, when we want to withhold forgiveness, according to Matthew's gospel, that if we withhold forgiveness to others who seek forgiveness from us, when we sin against God in our lives as believers, and we go and say, Lord, forgive me for what I've done wrong, He's going to withhold His forgiveness from us. And that fellowship's going to remain broken, because we are unwilling to forgive as He has forgiven us. We also show love by our action of disciplining. Just as Christ did not ignore wrong actions, so we too cannot ignore wrong actions. We don't show other people that we love them by ignoring their wrongs. We need to lovingly go to that person who is erring and restore them to fellowship. Direct them to the right path. That means getting involved sometimes in situations that we don't want to get involved in. But we're commanded to do that. That if we see a brother erring from God, according to Galatians, then we are to go and restore that person. We show our love, that we reflect the love of Christ by our action of obedience. Remember what Samuel said, that to obey is better than sacrifice. The mark of a true believer is his obedience. And it's a mark of our love for God. If we love God, we're going to do what he says. Isn't that what he told his disciples? If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Then the reverse is also true. If we don't keep God's commandments, we must not love him very much. And remember, we're showing to those that are around us and looking in our lives the reality of that love, by our obedience, by our willing to do what God commands us to do. And we also show our love and the love of Christ by action of intercession. We are to intercede on behalf of others. 1 Timothy 2 tells us that prayers and requests and intercession and thanksgiving are to be made for all men. For all. How many times do we neglect to intercede on behalf of others? We need to be those who are intercessors. I think these things and more, this is just scratching the surface, not even barely scratching the surface, are part of our outward show of the love that we say that we have for God and the reflection of the love of Christ that is in our own lives. Perhaps if we don't see these things in our own lives, perhaps we aren't taking the time that we need to be taking, getting to know more about the love of Christ that is immeasurable, that is incomprehensible. That we forget when we go through times of trouble and distress and trial. That these things can't separate us from the love of Christ. That nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. And that God is there in those troublesome times and He's loving us. And He's bringing those hard times into our lives many times because He loves us and because He wants us to be more like Christ. And He's smoothing off the rough edges. And that's love. Perhaps we shy away from being sacrificial in our outward showing of the love that God showed us. Christ's love was sacrificial. Perhaps if these things aren't in our lives to one extent or another, we've not spent enough time getting to know Him. And that's where we need to start. Getting to know Him in a greater way and getting to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. And when we do that, then I think that we will be true reflectors of the love of Christ. And that the world around us will be attracted to the love that we have for one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. What type of love? The love that Christ had for us. And when we show love, our love is to be tangible. It's not just supposed to be words. We're not supposed to love just in words, but in deeds. We're to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're commanded in Scripture and admonished in Scripture. Our love for one another will be a drawing card to the world around us, to the reality in Christ. We're to love our neighbors, saved or unsaved. You'll remember in the instance of the Good Samaritan, love was displayed to a neighbor who really didn't get along. Samaritans and the Jews didn't have anything to do with each other. But there was a need there. The Samaritan showed his love. He went to the injured man. He treated and bandaged his wounds, put him on his own donkey. He even took money out of his own pocket to pay for his expenses to be cared for. Do we measure up to that type of love when we show the love of Christ to others around us, or are we unwilling to be sacrificial? We're to love our enemies, God's Word tells us. And we are to exhibit love and compassion to those who are in need, according to Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. Even to those around us who aren't saved, but especially to those who are of the household of faith. We are to show the love of Christ. We are to live the love of Christ for others around us to see. Let's start by getting to know of the love of Christ that passes knowledge in a greater way. Let's spend time reflecting on what great love He has for us. And let's share that love with the world around us that needs it. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't know about the love of Christ. You don't know of the sacrificial love that He had for you, that He was willing to go to die on Calvary's cross so that you might have eternal life. Maybe this morning that's the first step that you need to take, is to come to know Christ as your personal Savior. We invite you to do that this morning. And we also, as believers, need to be challenged to learn more about the love of Christ and to live it out and to reach out to others and to love others as Christ wants us to love Him, to show the true love of Christ. Let's look to Him in prayer. Heavenly Father, our feeble words sometimes just don't do justice to what Your Word says. Help us to grasp the love that is beyond our understanding in a greater way. We know that all eternity will be spent learning more about you and your love for us. And we'll understand in a greater way. But help us to understand you more while we're here on earth. And help it affect our lives to such an extent that others can't help but see the love of Christ in our lives. Help us not to be selfish in our love for one another, and our love for our neighbors, and our love for our enemies. Help us to be true reflectors of the love of Christ that is beyond our understanding. A love that sent Christ to die on Calvary's cross for us, even while we were sinners. May we be willing to lay our life on the line for others. Be willing to share even though we feel like being selfish. Be willing to obey even when obedience is the last thing we really want to do. But help us to show our love by our obedience. Help us to show our love by our giving and our forgiving. And by our intercession. We know that this will be pleasing to you, for it is in His name we pray.